Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That's good news for the morning. As you get out on this last Sunday of January. January is almost gone already. We're already through with the first month of 2024. Looking forward to February and all that it brings. Good things in the Lord. So people say, Russ, you're looking good. Well, I feel better than I look. Okay, so if you look at me, I'm so-so, but I feel much better than I look. So anyway, I appreciate the way I do feel and the good things happening. Kathy needs your prayers this morning, things happening in her life that concern her family and all. We need to hold her up in prayer. But we're glad to be here. And got a couple things to share. One thing is if you went down the hall toward the fellowship, when you get past the activity board, there's a new bulletin board hanging up there, and it's a buy, sell, or giveaway board. If you got something you want to give away, and you'd like to see if somebody in the church needs it, put it up there. If you need something before you buy it, look, see if somebody's giving it away. If you got a car you want to sell, or buy, put it up there and ask the people. And if you got a diamond ring you want to get rid of, don't worry about it, just call me directly. And I'll help you with that. But anyway, that is a little thing of help. Not meant to be anything more, just help to the people in the congregation if they've got one of those needs or something. So look at that once in a while if you have a chance or a need to. The other thing is, out on the table is this annual report to pick up. So if you want to know what happened to church last year a little bit, you pick this up. Plus, we'll have a meeting on February 11th. Probably be a pretty quick meeting. I don't think we're voting on anything, if any much at all, if we are. But go over and this with you and talk about the health of the church. And we'll do that on February 11th after the service. Other than that, not a whole lot to say. other than I, you know, when I feel good, it's hard to tell what I'll do, you know. So this morning, I'm going to sing to you. Now, you may or may not like this, and I didn't run this by Dave, Laura, I'm sorry. Dave didn't prove this. This is not Dave approved. But and I guarantee you, I'm the only one that knows the song, right? Have you join me? Yeah, when we talk about, you know, how we pray and watch for the answer. I'm going to share this little song, and then I'll sit down and let Morna speak, okay? But it goes, we've got to pray through the night, wait on the day. Everybody's going to see the victory that way. We've got to pray through the night, wait on the day. Everybody's going to see the victory that way. Our God is not a God of the shadows. His mercy shines brighter than day. If you've got a load full of troubles, just listen to what he has to say. You've got to pray through the night, wait on the day. Everybody's going to see the victory that way. You've got to pray through the night, wait on the day. Everybody's going to see the victory that way. Don't lay there in sad trepidation. Don't worry, don't fret, don't despair. Our God's got the answer already. Just pray and it soon will be here. You've got to pray through the night, wait on the day. Everybody's going to see the victory that way. You've got to pray through the night, wait on the day. Everybody's going to see God's glory that way. Glory to God. Lord, I'm sorry.
Good morning. I'm not sure how I can follow up with that, but maybe I'll do a little tap dance. Oh, well, maybe not. So I'll talk about Philippians 2 instead. How's that? So last Wednesday, Gloria, Judy, and Sharon and I came here to sort everything out from all the donations that were received. And we had a fun time, and Brian was kind enough to find some boxes for us, which were greatly needed because we had a lot of items that were donated. So the breakdown was we had almost 400 food items. Between the men's and women's clothing, we had about 160 items for them. Personal care items like toothpaste, toothbrushes, soaps. We didn't count every single one because some were in bags, but we had almost 600 personal care items. And then for the miscellaneous stuff like batteries, candles, throws, things that we didn't know really what to do with, there were over 200. So we thought we'd separate them into different boxes so when they went to distribute them, they knew what they had to distribute. So in total, we had well over 1,300 items to deliver that day. And so we're very thankful. We're very thankful for all of your generous donations because it never would have happened without all of you. So thank you very much.
All right, let's stand and sing, shall we? Now, just a reminder, when that board goes up, Pastor, I'm looking for an E-flat trumpet, so if you've got an E-flat trumpet at home that you're not using, put that on the board.
I was lost in shame, could not get past my blame until he called my name. I'm so glad he changed me, darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out, and I'm no longer bound. I'm so glad he saved me, see I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by sight. It's mine. I've met the author of my story, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine. Sin had left me blind, but Jesus opened my eyes. Now I see the light. I'm so glad he changed me. Now I'm walking free. I've got the victory. See, it's all over me. I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by sight. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. Author of my story, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. The author of my story, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because there is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I've met the author of my story, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I've met the author of my story, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine. And he's mine. Yes, he's mine. And he's mine. Yes, he's mine.
Amen.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. My life was wrecked by sin and strife. His Lord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing. Starry sky. we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, home. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we
Father, we worship you this morning because you are a holy God. You loved us. You came down and sent your Son. Lord, we look forward to the day someday when we can lay our crowns at your feet. We look forward to that day, Lord. We love you and do great things today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. You have a good week this week? Yes, no? Good despite whatever happened this week? We had a good and bad week, so. My daughter's car engine went out. So if you got a good car you want to get rid of, has to have a sunroof and a thing to plug her phone in or something. I don't know what she needs something other. Anyway, let me know. We also had bad news. Our dog ended up biting our grandson. Didn't do major damage to him, but we had to put the dog down, so that was a sad thing, and it didn't go very easily. Chris and the girls were there, so they had to watch the traumatic event happen. So we decided to get another little dog to kind of help with the transition there. So we got a little mini golden doodle, 4 pounds of energy and attacking fierceness. So if you see somebody going like this, that's because they're up every 2 hours taking this little dog outside. So it's like having a little baby, except you don't change diapers, but might be easier that way. What's that?
Get a doggy door.
Yeah, we could do that, but it can't go down the stairs. It's too small. Yeah. Thanks, Trish. Any other suggestions, Trish? While we're going here. Only problem with doggy doors is other things can come in those doors too, besides your dog. Okay. Thanks, Trish. Let me just turn this off. Anybody else would like to say anything in here this morning? Thank Mike Easton for his phone conferencing with me. My son's furnace went out this week, and he talked me through it. It's like an operation on the phone for the furnace. We got that fixed, so that worked out well. So, good things happen all the time, and I thank you for him because he's helped me before. At the church, we had issues a couple years ago, and he kind of talked me through on the phone to get the church furnace working again. There was water in the line, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, we got that going. So good source. We have a lot of good people here that are a good source of information about all kinds of things. Trish will tell you, whatever things you want to know, yes, ask her about that. Otherwise, you want. I don't think she does furnaces, so Mike's the one for that. But anybody else want to share anything this morning? What's happening? Kelly?
Hello. Last week I had asked for prayer for smoking, and I am proud today to say that I have not had a cigarette since yesterday at 4 o'clock.
My friend from college, Anastasia, her husband needed a kidney transplant, and she's going to be his donor, and that's happening tomorrow. So their name is Anastasia and Dave, and obviously, if they're married, they can't take care of each other, so just pray for them.
We got a big praise this week. Last weekend, our Seth asked his girlfriend to marry him, and she said yes. So they're over the moon happy and looking at a late July wedding. So we're praising God for bringing them together.
My husband's odometer in life flipped one digit on Friday. He's 45. Yeah, he's got a lot of miles on him, but it's still holding tough.
So what did you say, the bodies are up but the engine still works? Is that what you were saying?
I just want to praise the Lord that I haven't been murdered yet by my wife of 35 years. As of yesterday. So it's been a blessing. I always say it just feels like yesterday, but she would disagree with that. But the Lord has been instrumental in our relationship, because I don't know, I couldn't have been a good husband without the Lord's help. So most of the time she tells me I'm a good husband. So.
Yes, she says that. Anybody else? Oh, right here in the front.
We have I'm saying it over and over and over, and Bob jokes with Trish. But I'll tell you, Trish has so much good stuff to say. And you guys all of you guys, you know, your words of encouragement, words of help, you know, even as we're talking about puppy things. If you have puppy ideas, I'm open. I like sleep, and we're not getting a lot of sleep. We're enjoying our puppy. But really, just having the body of Christ and having you guys there in our corner and for us to be a part of your lives is such a blessing. One of the things that my sister and Sue and so many other people this last few days has just reminded us, perhaps from an old sermon of Pastor Bob's, that has really helped me, because we've been through quite a bit this last few weeks through various things, and is just to embrace what the Lord is doing in your life. If trauma, if drama, if blessings, if whatever, anything that's coming your way, embrace what God is doing. Recognize that God filters everything. And if it's coming to you, there is something good that he is doing. He's making his name known. He's purifying us. It is good. It feels sad. It feels difficult, but embrace the Lord. And so, thank you guys.
Anybody else? Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for allowing us to be here in your house this morning, for the words of encouragement, for the songs, for the worship. We just pray for all. We have a lot of different needs. This morning we think of Everett, we think of Bob Harder, and we think of Roxanne, and we think of Caleb, and we think of all these different ones, Lord, that we have here in our community, in our midst. We may not mention everybody's name, Lord, but you know that they're thought of throughout the week and throughout the day, that we would just pray for strength and guidance and direction. Thank you for protection. As Lynn was talking about a possible accident they were in, and they just avoided it because of your hand being on Carol to be able to get the car out of the way, and so they didn't get hit. And just for all the different things that you do, you know, we have sad times where things make us sad and cry, and we're emotional. We had Lois Lachey's celebration of life yesterday, and there was tears for loss, but there were also tears of joy that she's not suffering anymore. So we thank you for those kind of situations. Lord, thank you for friendship. Thank you for encouragement. Lord, thank you for those who come alongside and say, do you need some help? Do you need prayer? And those kind of things we have in this church and this community. Help us, Lord, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our church and in our community as well. Thank you for those who are visiting with us, Lord, that they may feel your spirit here this morning. And as you're here with us, be with the message this morning. Be with those who couldn't make it today. You may not be feeling well. Maybe I know Matt's out working somewhere. And so we just thank you that his mother-in-law's here. And Lord, just for all those who could be here this morning, those on Zoom as well, thanks for that technology. Pray for those who are not feeling well, the sicknesses that are going on, the coughs and the fevers and all these things that are happening with people. We pray for healing in those situations. Lord, be with our spirits, guide and direct us. Help us to feel refreshed and renewed in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm so thankful that no matter what we go through in life, that we're not alone. The Lord is with us, and he'll help us, as Chris was talking about, and he'll never leave us, no matter what we're facing. Life's a journey. It's filled with rough spots, ups and downs, and mountains and valleys. But we can always pray, like Russ was saying in his song, always pray, trust the Lord, know that there's a better day, and there's streets of gold at the end of our journey. And we're going to see him, best of all, face to face. The name of this song is, it's an old song written back in, I think, 1983. And it's sung by Ann Downing, so it is an older song. But it's really true for this day. And any Christian that's taken the journey with the Lord and anybody through life. I think of our son, Nathan, out in California. He's going to be transferring back to Camp Pendleton from California. He's at Camp Pendleton, and he's moving to North Carolina in May. And I think about him as I sing this song called The Long and Winding Road. When I made a start for heaven, I could only find one way. The road that led me through the mountains and the valleys, the road not many folks would take. And since I started traveling on my journey, I've covered many miles behind me. Miles of sun and rain, miles of smiles and pain. The road's been rough, but I again would choose the same. The long and winding road, keep leading me. Up ahead, I see a sign, and it points me straight ahead to victory. I know I must be traveling right, for I remember passing Calvary. And although it's dusty and it's old, for years it's bore the traveler's load. And one day this road will turn to gold. There are some times when the rocks hurt my feet. My body's burned from the sweat and the heat. My strength's completely drained. I guess my face marks the pain. My back is bent from the strain. Well, I could turn around, for the road's still there. But every mountain that I've climbed, I again would have to bear. So I can't turn back. Some may be using my tracks. I see one more bend. This just might be my road's end. Long and winding road, keep leading me. Up ahead, I see a sign, and it points me straight ahead to victory. Be traveling right, for I remember passing Calvary, and although it's dusty and it's old, for years and years it's bore the traveler's load, and one day this road will turn to gold. And for some, this road's already turned to gold.
Thanks, Joy. Parts of the message today are from a guy named Morris. So when I go through the week and try to think of messages, and you can imagine what it's like to try to have a different message every week, 52 weeks of the year, so I read a lot of different things about different people, and I take some of their information. Because the Bible does say nothing's new under the sun, right? But you don't need to plagiarize and take everything. You just take parts here and there that are from their sermon. So I was thinking of this week about insurance. Insurance is a means of protection from financial loss in which, in exchange for a fee, a party agrees to compensate another party in the event of a certain loss, damage, or injury. It's a form of risk management primarily used to protect against the risk of a contingent or uncertain loss. That's what insurance is supposed to be, right? It's not necessarily like that. Sometimes insurance doesn't want to pay. So you have insurance for all this stuff, or insurance won't pay until it's too late. You know, they won't cover this and they won't cover that, and you have to get approval for that, and it can be kind of a mess at some points. I think it's kind of like taxes, you know. It wasn't supposed to be a long-term thing, and insurance is supposed to protect us, and you wonder, you pay all these years, and then you make a claim, and they say, we aren't paying for that, and you're like, well, I should have just saved my money. But anyway, we're not going to that side anyway. But it seems like today we have insurance offered for everything. As I was looking this, we have insurance for life, for death, for health, which is too high, by the way, sickness. We have insurance for our cars, accidents, they're stolen or vandalized, insurance for homes, property, and just in case it burns down or it gets blown down or broken into, insurance for our money, insurance for our loans, and then we have some outrageous things, like venue insurance for a wedding. If your wedding gets canceled, you can have insurance to pay for that. If somebody damages something, you can get insurance to pay for that. You can get insurance for kidnapping, damaged body parts, plant damage, like landscaping, multiple birth insurance, alien abduction insurance. And I was thinking, how in the world, if you're abducted by an alien, how are you going to collect? Because you're not going to be there, right? They abducted you, so how can you collect on that insurance anyway? You may want to name somebody else as your policy holder, so that way they can collect anyway. But insurance has stipulations and circumstances that cause it to be revoked or nullified or non-existent, and there are many ways they can get out of paying, can't they? I know Faith had a couple accidents in her car. One of them, she was in the parking lot of OSU, and a guy came and T-boned her in the side, and then when the police got there, he said, well, she ran into me. And the guy's like, how could she do that? Does her car go sideways? And then she had one on the highway, and she was the last one in line. So there were five cars that all piled up, and she hit the last car. And the insurance wouldn't cover it because it was nobody's fault. And I'm like, what do you mean it's nobody's fault? The person who stopped, it would have been their fault, but it was nobody's fault. So we got that all repaired, and then her engine went out. So we're with all these new parts in this car, and I'm like, okay, what do you do? And she was upset, and I said, yeah, it's going to be okay. We'll be fine. So you get to those circumstances where you have this insurance, they don't cover it, but you just keep moving on, don't you? You can't just get upset and mad and throw your hands up in the air. But insurance is man-made. It's something that we came up with, didn't we? Somebody had this idea, yeah, I'll do this, and you can pay me, and then I'll cover it if something happens, but the likelihood of that happening is very low, so I'm going to make money off this if it never happens. A few cases, they get, you know, you get your money's worth, but not always. But it doesn't give us assurance of anything, because nothing is promised or for sure with insurance except for the premiums. You know you're going to pay the premium, but you don't know you're going to get the coverage for sure. So you're hoping that you're going to get that. John 6:46-47 says, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. And very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. That's not insurance, that's assurance. There's a different thing, isn't it? It means it's for sure. It's clear. If Jesus says something, then we know it's true. He says, if we accept and believe in him, we have eternal life. If you look in Hebrews 6, starting in verse 16, it says, people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said, and put an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. So an oath is a promise, basically. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. So that's comforting, right? Not many can say that. It's impossible for you to lie. It's possible we could all lie. This says it's impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us, and many great and courage, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So if God can't lie, we know that whatever he says is true. It may sound kind of outrageous sometimes, right? Like, how could that be? But if it's in his word, it's true. It's not just a made-up story. It's not just a good book. But it's a true book that he stands behind and gave his life, actually, for. So he's an anchor for our life and our hope as we go on in life. The next passage is a little bit longer. Hebrews 10:19-29 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence. So confidence is assurance, right? It's not insurance. It's an assurance. To enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way he opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with what? The full assurance that faith brings. So here again, we can believe in it. It's going to be true. It's going to happen. You don't have to doubt that. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we have an unswerving hope. What does that mean? It means it doesn't go up and down all over the place. It means we're consistent, steady. We have a hope in God no matter what happens, right? Whether it's a good time or a bad time, we have hope in him to know that he's true. We know what the end is going to be. So we need to hold fast to that hope. As we see the day approaching, what's that mean? The day approaching, it means the end when he can come back. When things are going to be destroyed by fire, it's going to be burned up. That's what's going to happen in the end. We have the hope that we know we can trust in him. And last week we talked about better together. This talks about the same idea we talked about last week in part of it. It says, don't give up meeting together. Well, we're supposed to meet to encourage one another in love and good deeds, aren't we? So if you have a bad week, hopefully when you come to church, you're encouraged, not going away thinking, oh, that was terrible. Hopefully you come thinking, I got encouraged, I got uplifted, I had some friends who I could talk to, people I can share my needs with, and they're going to pray for me. Here's a warning in this next passage, starting verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy, on the testimony of two or three witnesses? How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? Pretty serious, isn't it? So according to the passage, we have assurance because of the death of Christ that we have salvation, and anybody can obtain that. And once you accept the gift of salvation, you be confident that he who promised it is trustworthy and true. So once we're in the hands of God, no one can take us out of it. But there's a condition, I think, as long as we remain faithful. We remain faithful to the Lord, following him, seeking after him. We can be assured that we are his. Vernon and I were talking this week. She was talking about a friend she had, a person she knew. Some people believe that once they accept Christ, they have insurance from eternal punishment. Like, once I accept him, nothing can happen to me. I can do whatever I want. No problem. Doesn't matter how I live. And I'm going to go to heaven. It's not going to be a big deal. There's two thoughts of this, and you probably have heard both of these. One is Calvinism by John Calvin. And it says, we were chosen by God, and it's a predetermined. And once we accept Christ, we never fall away, even renounce our salvation, because we never chose it in the first place. So we're eternally secure. And if we do fall away, we were never really chosen or saved anyway. There's some kind of contradictions in there to me that doesn't make sense. In the Calvinistic belief, they believe we are predetermined who's going to accept him. So if you accept him, that's because God made you accept him, basically. You don't have any free will in that situation. The other idea is by Jacob Arminius, which opposes Calvin's idea. So many Arminians believe that we have free will to choose Jesus as our Savior. We can't lose our salvation per se, but we can walk away. If we decide to renounce Christ and walk away, we have the freedom to do that. We're not just going to go, oh, I lost it, where'd it go? No, we have an idea in that, what we can do. But the belief of that, this is the Wesleyan belief, Nazarenes, 3CU, and other denominations. We have assurance of our salvation as we follow the Lord and obey his will. We need to persevere and not live a life of sin so we don't make the sacrifice of Jesus as worthless. So there's two thoughts. There's people on both sides. There's people in the middle of that. I lean towards the idea of the free will side. Some people believe eternal security. And then the out of that is, if you do fall away, you were never really saved in the first place. So if he says, when he says to as many as received him, to me that means I have a choice to receive him. I'm not made or forced to receive him. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. So we're told to use the freedom we have in Christ, not as permission to sin, but as permission to love one another. And if you were at the service yesterday, Dave Holdren talked about loving one another and that kind of thing. So our job as Christians is to love one another. It doesn't mean you accept the things that are wrong, but it means you love the person despite the things that may not be right. And hopefully that happens in our lives, right? None of us are perfect. We all have faults. We all have problems. We all have issues. But hopefully we're loved despite our issues, because they see that Christ is in us and we're trying to do the best that we can. Hebrews 10:26, we're going to go back to that. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge and truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? So I thought about that. So some view that differently, but to me it says, once we receive the knowledge of the truth and keep on sinning and reject the sacrifice of Christ made for us, eternal punishment is waiting. So here's the key for me. What does it mean when you say, once you receive the knowledge of truth? Doesn't mean you just heard it. That means you received it, you took it in, you believed it. As far as I'm concerned, when you receive something, you take it in, right? It says, once you receive the knowledge, to me that is more than hearing. It's internalizing it, accepting it, and believing it. So when we accept Christ, no one can take that away, but I believe we can reject it ourselves. We can choose to walk away. Since we have free will, we can make a choice. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. The Bible says, to as many received him, he became the right to become a children of God. So when we receive him, we become God's children. It doesn't say he forced you to become that. It says you have a choice. So it's my conclusion, if we freely receive him, we can also choose not to receive him. But why would you want to choose not to receive him? You shouldn't want to choose that. If you choose Christ and see the benefits, who he is and what he and his love, you wouldn't want to walk away, right? You want to stay with him. You want to follow him. You want to do the best thing that you can do. So when you receive Christ, it's not hell insurance, right? It's not a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's because you love him and you want him to change your life and to be like him. It's assurance of our place in heaven because Jesus paid the price for us. Just like insurance cost a price, assurance cost a price as well, which was Jesus' life, his blood and sacrifice on the cross. So when we choose to accept him, we choose to live as best we can. Songwriter of an old familiar hymn, Blessed Assurance, which you probably know is Fanny Crosby, who understood the importance of having faith in God regardless of the circumstances at hand. The opening statement is an exhortation of one who has a personal relationship. It says, Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Think about that. Jesus, the God of the universe, is mine. Right? She's confident in the fact that the one who was sent to reconcile us belongs to her. And she belongs to him. That's a relationship, isn't it? So he has the assurance that he's never going to leave her or forsake her. Jesus was the King of the Jews, the bright and morning star, the miracle man who walked on water, fed a multitude with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread, the one who gave sight to the blind and caused the lame to walk and the dumb to talk. Is hers and he's ours when we accept him. He's a personal savior, and we can be sure of that. A lot of other religions don't have a personal savior. Who they believe in or what they believe in is not a personal God. It's somebody or someone to be afraid of, to sacrifice to, and do all kinds of things, but we can talk to Jesus, right? And we know here we're an heir with him. We know he died for us, sacrificed for us, that he loves us, cares for us, and that he wants our best. But other religions is not that way. You sacrifice, you're afraid of this God, all those kinds of things, but it's just personal. When she wrote the next phrase, you can sense she had a level of joy. It says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She's excited at the glorious, loving grace and mercy of God when she thinks about what God is to her and what he's done. And he provided an opportunity for us to have an avenue and a path to glory. So when you have a funeral service, they're different. Depends on if it's a Christian or not a Christian. There's a difference in that. When it's not a Christian, there's more loss of hope and mourning happening. When it's a Christian, there's loss, hope, and mourning. But there's a hope you're going to see him again, right? The hope of a non-Christian is, I hope I did everything I could have done. I hope I said the right things. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. When it's a Christian service, you're like, I'll be able to see him again. They're waiting for me. I'm going to be there. We're going to be reunited. So you have a hope. You have an assurance that you're going to see them again. The good thing to know from glory is that our past sins can't keep us from attaining heaven. What we've done in the past can't keep us from getting into heaven. We confess those sins, give them to the Lord, it makes us right with him, and we have that pathway. It can't get taken away by our past. It can't get taken away by our parents. We have an opportunity to make things right, and somebody's sitting there thinking, so being saved doesn't mean if I will never do wrong anymore? No, you're human. We're imperfect. We're not perfect people. We're going to do things wrong. We're going to say dumb stuff, right? But there's forgiveness for that. Being saved doesn't mean that the things I did yesterday will not cause God to be disappointed. Yeah, he might be disappointed and said, why did you say that? Why did you do that? And you go back and say, I'm sorry. You know, you confess your sin and you try to make it right. But God gave us blessed assurance so we can have a life that's abundant, not to condemn us from our past, but offer an opportunity for a brighter future, a salvation that's been paid for by Christ's own blood. So just because you messed up yesterday doesn't mean it needs to affect today. You can start over, right? You can start anew. So grace and mercy allows us to come into the path of righteousness out of darkness. When we accept Christ, we're born again in the Spirit by his redeeming blood. Second verse of the song shows the level of her faith in God and his saving ability. Now, most of you probably know Fanny Crosby was blind. She wrote, perfect submission, perfect delight, meaning once you surrender to him, you'll receive the joy of him. It says, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. So think of that. When I was reading this, he's talking about it wasn't a bad thing for her to be blind because the first face she's going to see is going to be Jesus. That's kind of a different perspective, isn't it? First face I'm going to ever see is going to be Jesus, even though she was blind. So when we surrender our lives to the Master, we see forgiveness for our sins, an opportunity to live a life that can be delightful to God. Because when the rapture comes, we're being caught up together to sit beside the King and tell him all our troubles and see our bodies that are changed. The worst thing is seeing somebody suffer and there's nothing you can do about it, right? It's even bad with animals too. I mean, when they had to put our dog down, they didn't do it right. So he suffered, and I don't know, I didn't see it all, but my wife and girls saw what happened. So that was the worst thing they've ever seen. It's horrible when you see something and you can't do anything about it, right? But that's not going to be like it is in heaven. You're going to be healed. You're going to be new. If you knew somebody was all bent over and limping around, they're not going to be that way anymore. When Jesus came back in a resurrected body, he had a body, but it was a resurrected body made whole and perfect and new. He could do all kinds of cool things, right? Like walk through walls, and he could still eat, and I don't understand it. I don't know the whole, you know, physics of what's going to happen. But it's going to be better than what we have now. We're going to be taken up into heaven. So I don't know if we're flying or being transported or whatever's happening to us, but we know we're not going to be like this. We're not going to be sad. We're not going to be mad. We're not going to be upset with the government, the taxes, and the gas prices, and all that stuff, because that won't matter. There won't be any of that left. We won't have to worry about it. But assurance gives us hope, letting us understand and know that because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all our needs are provided for. Wouldn't that be nice if you had it today? You go home and somebody said, I just sent you this card. You can buy as many groceries as you want for the rest of your life. There's no more expense for any of your utilities. Pick whatever vehicle you want to drive, and it's yours. All your needs are met forever. We're not going to need cars and those kind of things in grocery stores, but we're going to have all our needs met when we get to heaven. The things that people see as impossible, God says are possible. Trish was talking about this morning with Sue and I. Sue was talking about things God can do that we can't understand. People we see in situations that we think this is hopeless, God says, no, there's hope there. Things that we say that we can't do, and God says, I know you can't, but I can. And he puts us in situations that people say, how did you do that? We say, I only did it because God helped me do it. That's how I did it. I couldn't have done it on my own, only him. And then they say, well, what did you do? I gave it to him. I trusted him. I did what he wanted me to do. Assurance gives us hope. There's no hopeless situation. And the realization the battle's not ours. Sometimes we fight battles we shouldn't be fighting. We need to say, I need to give this to God and let him take care of it. Do what I can do, let God do the rest instead of me trying to do everything. Instead of me trying to say, okay, I'm fighting and fighting and fighting. I realize, okay, God, now I'll turn to you. We should turn to him first when we're in a situation like that. Something that feels hopeless, like an illness. He's the balm of healing. He doesn't always say we're going to be healed on this earth. We think so. We hope so. Sometimes our healing comes from being in heaven. That's the ultimate healing. We want healing to take place here, but sometimes it takes place in heaven. There's no such thing as hopeless sorrow. For God said, weeping can endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. You ever had a rough experience one night and you finally wake up the next day and you feel like a little bit better? Right? You suffer for a while. In order for assurance to be felt, we have to believe and trust that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the protector of Daniel and Job, the safekeeper of Ruth and Esther, the defender of David and Rahab, the giver of our salvation, the God we call Father, will take care of us. You start looking up all these things and what God did. If we'd start writing these things down, God did this and this and this and this and this. So maybe you're having a bad day or a bad week. Look up some of the scripture and look how people have delivered all these different people in the Bible in different ways. And say, well, why can't I fit in there? If he did it for them, why can't he do it for me? Because we're his kids, we're his heirs. We just have to believe and have faith that even though we can't see him, he's there. When we need him, we can call out and say, I need you for this. Trust in God, because his sacrifice of Jesus was not in vain on Calvary. It was for a reason. It was to save us. Without that, we wouldn't be able to have heaven. We don't have to fear that God's angry at our mistakes, that he's going to condemn us, because it says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But we do want a right relationship. If Sam and I got in an argument and we never talked about it and we're mad, and you can ask us 5 years later, what are you mad about? I can't remember, but I know I'm mad at him. Right? You may have some people like that right now that you know that you're mad at, but you can't even remember why you're mad at them. But instead, we should go to talk together and say, hey, you know, this was said, I apologize for that. Yeah, I thought you said this. Well, I really didn't say that. A lot of times interpretations are taken wrong, especially texting. Oh, he used capitals. Why are you yelling at me? Right? The person's like, because I didn't know how to get it off capitals. That's all I'm doing. Right? So the good thing is, what we're supposed to do is go talk to the people. Not just post something on Facebook, and then you get rid of that issue. So we don't worry about God condemning us. He wants us to have a right relationship. And assurance comes when your anchor are your convictions in the Word of God. When you face difficulties and know that God can do anything, even though I may fail. When sorrows come up, I can find joy and strength in Him. Assurance comes when your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Other things are going to fail. People are going to fail us. Vehicles are going to fail us. Doctors are going to fail us. But Jesus' blood is never going to fail us. Satan wants our destruction, but God's going to use everything for your good. You can't get assurance through Allstate or State Farm or Geico or Prudential. You only get it from something that happened 2,000 years ago, which is Christ's sacrifice on the cross. There's not going to be a rate increase. There's not going to be a cancellation. No added small print stipulations. To get the assurance, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I need you. I'm turning my back on sin. I want to follow you. We're in a big cancel culture, aren't we? Cancel this, cancel that. Cancel this person, cancel that. You're never going to have Jesus say, I cancel you. Your insurance company may say that. Especially if you're getting one or two more wrecks, they'll cancel you. But Jesus is never going to cancel you. Our assurance was paid for in full by his birth, life, death, and resurrection. So do you want insurance? Do you want security that can't be canceled because of your mistakes? Can't be revoked when you ask for help? You want assurance that insurance can't give? That man can't provide? That you can't buy? That you can't be denied. You need to rest in your Savior. He says he's watching and waiting, looking from above, because you've been filled with his goodness and lost in his love. He wants this to be your story, your song, your surrender, your life. Then you need to stretch out your hand and say, God, I need you at this time. Matthew 24:13 says, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Doesn't mean we can stand on our own power. We need the Holy Spirit to help us stand firm. When your knees feel weak and you think there's just too much weight, I can't take this anymore, you just cry out to God and say, I need help. I can't get through this by myself. So maybe you've surrendered to Jesus, but you haven't been living like you should. Maybe there's some things you need to take care of in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you feel discouraged or disappointed. Maybe you need a fresh touch from the great physician. And there's good news. This is your day. This is your time. The Lord says, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you want that and need that? Pam's going to come and play. And if you want to come to the altar this morning for prayer, you can do that while she's playing. If you want to just raise your hand, put it down that you need prayer, you can do that as well. So we're just going to take a few minutes and allow you the opportunity to come if you want. don't have to know the needs. You know what the needs may be. So we'd ask you to be with them, Lord. Touch them, fill them with your Holy Spirit. You saw all those that raised their hands. Their different needs, different concerns that you know about. They're asking for your help, for your touch, for your deliverance, for your guidance, for your direction, for your healing, whatever it may be. God, we ask that you would touch them this morning in a special way, that they can know that you're here and you're with them. Be with us, Lord, as we go this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand, shall we? Be not dismayed, wherever betide, God will take care of you.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you.
Peace this morning to serve the Lord. Amen.